Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Well, I'm delighted to have our next guest on Spirit Radio this morning. She's perhaps best known for being the first police ombudsman in Northern Ireland from 1997 to 2007, a crucial time in history of Northern Ireland. Now, this evening she's speaking at an interesting event in Dublin where she's going to be sharing her thoughts on the upcoming abortion referendum. On the line to chat to us about this, we have Baroness Nuala O'Loan. Good morning, Baroness O'Loan. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you.
Well, first of all, Baroness O'Loan, I just wanted to ask you about your thoughts on the legislation that the Irish government is proposing. Have you had a chance to look at the heads of bill?
I have looked at the heads of bill. this legislation is the legislation which will probably be passed if the people of Ireland vote yes. I think it's very, very defective legislation. It provides, for example, in the first instance, it provides for abortion on demand up to 12 weeks. And when I say on demand, all that's required is that a medical practitioner certify that the woman is pregnant and then waits 72 hours and that's it. so there's no grounds, no reasons, nothing. Then you have the other grounds, risk to health or life, risk to life or health in emergency. Generally speaking, a risk to the life or physical health of a woman or a risk to her mental health are currently covered in the Protection of Life During Pregnancy Act of 2013, which will be repealed if these heads of bill become law. So then you have provision for abortions up to six months, up to viability, which is about 24 weeks. And then you have provision for abortions up to birth, where the condition is likely to lead to the death of the fetus.
What do you feel is defective about it?
Very extensive, very extensive abortion law.
What do you said, Baroness O'Loan, that you think that it's defective. What do you feel is defective about it?
Because I think there's no attempt to control or manage the process of abortion in a way that will protect women from making decisions which ultimately they might come to regret. There's no provision, for example, requiring abortion or abortion counselling or preparation of any kind. There's no requirement that there be anything other than a pregnancy to lead to an abortion. You know, this will lead to the death of healthy unborn children. There is absolutely no doubt about it. You know, in England and Wales, we know that 97% of abortions are carried out on these grounds. You know, well, in England, you have to prove it's likely to affect your mental health. And that's the main ground. 99.8% of abortions are, of the abortions carried out under that ground are carried out simply. That was an unidentified mental health risk. I do not think that's right.
I suppose, Baroness O'Loan, a lot of people would say, and of course you're mentioning just statistics there from Britain, is that, well, it contained within those statistics are Irish women who are having abortions in Britain. So we do have abortion in Ireland. It just doesn't take place here.
Yes.
So then,
women are choosing to abort their babies, yes. And sometimes they feel they have to abort their babies. They don't have to go to England if there's a risk to their physical life. They don't have to go if there's danger to them. They don't have to go in emergency situations. They don't have to go if they're suicidal. There is abortion in Ireland already.
Well, I suppose,
legal statutory abortion.
I suppose the argument would be, Baroness O'Loan, that those women shouldn't have to travel to the UK.
No, but I'm saying these women don't have to travel because if there is a risk to their life, if they're suicidal or anything like that, they don't have to travel. The other women who are choosing to travel are making a choice, and I grant you, in many cases, it may be a very difficult choice for them to make and a very harrowing choice. And I don't underestimate all the difficulty that attaches to that. But I think that Ireland has to look beyond that. When we look at the numbers in England and Wales, and when we know that 97% are simply really that there's an unidentified risk to mental health, which means that they're just abortion on demand, that people don't want the babies they're carrying, then I think Ireland has to ask itself, is this what we want to do? Do we want to kill healthy unborn children in this way?
One of the things that Health Minister Simon Harris, what he said this week was, he said comparisons with the UK's abortion system to this legislation weren't accurate. What do you think? Do you think it's valid to make the comparisons?
I can't understand quite what the evidence is for what he has just said. I think comparisons with England's abortion law would lead one to the conclusion that Ireland's abortion law is more liberal, that Ireland's abortion law would lead, for example, to the death of children with Down syndrome and things like that without that ever being identified or recorded. At least in England, we know the causes, the reasons, the presenting factors, and the statistics are produced, which show us that, for example, of the 3,000 children who died through abortion in England and Wales in 2016, of those 3,000 children who died because they had abnormalities or syndromes such as Down's, 706 were children with Down syndrome. So Down syndrome, more children with Down syndrome aborted than all the other neurological conditions, conditions of the nervous system, the anencephalies and things like that. So what we're seeing is a move towards using the Abortion Act in England to eradicate the Down's syndrome using abortion. And I think that, you know, the people of Ireland need to be aware of this. These children have a right to life. They have a right to life just as anybody else has.
What is your talk going to focus on this evening then?
I'm going to look at the right that the Irish people have to make this decision in the first instance, the referendum, the constitutional position. Then I'm going to look at the nature of the problem in Ireland and the Eighth Amendment, what the Eighth Amendment actually says and what it does. I mean, it actually has one medical effect only. It prevents Irish doctors from deliberately causing the death of an unborn child outside the protections provided to save the life of the mother, which are articulated in the amendment. And it gives the child in the womb the right to be protected in Ireland's medical facilities. I'm going to look at that, and I'm going to ask the question, why does that need to be repealed? Because I think there's huge talk of compassion, but compassion demands that we look after both the mother and the child, and that we don't choose one above the other unless it has to be done. I'm going to look at the impact that the Abortion Act has had in England and Wales. I'm going to unpick some of the statistics and look at the values which are attributed. I'm going to look at the actual logistics of delivering an abortion service. Now, in Ireland, it would be a smaller abortion service because the population of Ireland is so small by comparison with England and Wales. But in England and Wales, the vast majority of abortions are carried out in private sector clinics like Murray Stopes or British Pregnancy Advisory Service. It's an industry, a multi-million pound industry, with people who are, you know, executives who are paid vast sums of money to run the industry. An abortion is not cheap. An abortion costs probably a minimum for a medical abortion, about £5, up to nearly £2,000 for a surgical abortion. Most of those are paid by the state, and that has to be factored in. And my argument would be that, you know, if women are presenting for abortion because they feel they can't cope economically, or because they don't feel they've got support, or because they haven't got the home in which to bring up the child, or whatever it is, those are the problems we need to answer, and that money could well be attributed to providing a better service. Ireland's medical service, I'm going to look at that and the extent to which it's struggling under the load. I think GPs are really working very, very hard and are struggling to provide the service. And I think if you impose this on top of them without consulting them, without considering the logistics of it, and without considering the conscientious objection which many, many of them have articulated, then you're going to create a problem for the Irish health service generally. And then I'm going to look at, well, why do babies matter anyway? Why do unborn babies matter?
Baroness Nuala O'Loan, thank you so much for joining us on the programme this evening to tell us a little bit about that talk and to share your thoughts on the upcoming referendum. So just to let you know, if you're interested in attending, that sounds like it'll be a very informative talk indeed. It's taking place this evening at 7:30pm in Notre Dame, the Newman Centre for Faith and Reason, which is 87B St Stephen's Green, Dublin 2. And that is 87B St Stephen's Green, Dublin 2 at 7:30pm this evening. You can find out more at newman.nd.ed.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.